Greetings, family and friends of Hohenwald First United Methodist Church. This is Good Friday of the year 2020. We are nearing the end of Lenten season, which was 40 days of self-separation for holy purposes, and little did we know that this was going to be the lentiest Lent we ever Lent. We continue to be in self-lockdown, self-separation, and may continue for another 40 days. We don't know. But here in this time of the end of the story, before the beginning of the story, we had 100 years ago, or last month anyway, planned to have a Easter cantata on the evening of Good Friday. We'd started practicing with our own choir and friends from the Baptist Church and other churches that were going to help us, and we determined it would be Good Friday to do the best date to do the Easter cantata so that we could get all these extra people who weren't having something at their own church on that night. And it seemed a little odd to do a Easter cantata on Good Friday because, you know, Easter hadn't arrived yet. But when I heard the music that was being planned, it was really a perfect Holy Week service. Recounting through music and song all of the steps on the way from baptism through the Palm Sunday, through cleansing of the temple, and all the way up to the end and then the beginning again. I'd asked of Kenny Graves, our choir director, that if I might just before the end song, before the Easter turn, have a few moments to thank the crowd for coming and then explain to them that this is the foretaste of the Easter celebration we will start on Sunday. He said, that sounded like a good idea, and so I had planned to get up and say a few words almost at the end of the cantata. And then a few nights later, I woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't get back to sleep, and laid there in the bed thinking about what I wanted to say, and finally I just got up and sat on the edge of the bed and wrote down a few notes, and this is what I had planned on saying there toward the end of the Easter cantata. Just after the song which had Jesus nailed to the cross, I was going to get up in the quiet and say, well, that's it, that's the end, thank you for coming. And I expected it might rise a chuckle or at least a wink and a nod because the people know that that's not really the end of the story. They knew there was something else that would have to follow. But I was going to explain to them, no, this is no Paul Harvey moment. This is no the rest of the story. This is the real end of a story that was in real need of ending. The cross is the end of the story. We who live on this side of that story live in a whole nother story. And we shouldn't be quick to skip over to the Easter moment. We should say, thank God it's over and gone and move ahead, but not without taking a day or two to really consider what an awful story the world has lived up until Easter. I was going to say them tonight, we've binge-watched the whole season, not knowing that we'd be later in quarantine and binge-watching TV. But we've gone from baptism to the palms to the dark noon on Friday, and that is the end of the story. It's not the end of Jesus. We know that now on this side of Easter. But it is the end of Adam and all who fell for that original lie and took up that original sin of trusting in themselves, not God. Jesus has brought that story, and a tragic story it was. Jesus has brought that story of failed humanity to its final conclusion. Hear this word from the Gospel of Luke, Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. On three crosses, we hear three voices. On the one side, although it's in the voice and inflection of a thief, we know the voice behind that. We've heard that voice before. We heard it out in the desert saying, turn these stones to bread, save yourself. Jump from the tower, show them you are a master. It is the voice of sin, the voice of the tempter. Even in that voice of the thief who says, save yourself and us, it is the voice of self-interest, the voice of saying, do something. On the other side, there is another voice, a very different sort of voice, also from a thief, but this voice is a voice of confession, of petition, and a voice of trust. It says, we are sinners. We deserve what we are getting. But, oh Lord, please, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Confession, petition, and most importantly, trust. And then from the central voice of Jesus between the two conflicting thieves, Jesus assuring not only the thief but even himself, against the very human cry of, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? The voice of calm assurance, a holy confirmation. Today we will be together in paradise. Paradise, often suggested to be a synonym for Eden or the Garden of Beginnings. When Jesus says to the thief who trusts him, Jesus who's trusting his Father says, today we will be together at a new beginning, a new Garden of Eden in paradise from which we may begin a new story. By faith in his Father, not self, Jesus has undone the entirety of human history to that point, and he closes the story of humanity's self-interest so that a new story may begin on Easter morning. A story of faith in God and following after God. A story of peace with God. Now back then, when I anticipated that it would be a regular Good Friday and a regular Easter, I was going to say, as I always do on Good Friday, please spend some time in Holy Saturday in quiet reflection. Now we seem to have no choice. So I hope that you will spend some time Saturday before Easter comes to think over the long, sad story of humanity. The whole of the first of the Bible is a story of people trusting in themselves, doing what they think is best, trying to get the most that they can, but never quite trusting God fully. And it's also the story of the tragic results of that. But with Easter, a new story will begin, a whole new story, not the end of the story, but the beginning. And I trust that you will be hungry for the beginning of that new story to begin for you and for us all. Even though we are in a time of quarantine, and we are strictly directed by our bishop not to have any corporate worship services, on Easter morning, we will have drive-through communion. I will be at the church at least between 9 and noon to hand out communion. We invite you to come and bring flowers to post on the cross at the corner. We'll do this one at a time. Nobody can get out of the car in twos and threes, but if somebody gets out of the car to post flowers on the cross, then I will bring communion to your car and hand it to you through the window, and we will do communion in that way as best we can, and we will be together, even if slightly distanced. You know, the beginning of Easter was a story of Jesus meeting people in ones and twos and threes, It won't be any different this Easter, and it won't ever be any different. God will always meet us wherever we are, whether we expect it or not. Maybe we'll recognize it. I hope we will come Sunday. Amen.